Welcome to the AICPA Sustainability Initiative Podcast Series, a resource dedicated to sustainability accounting and the triple bottom line of economic viability, social responsibility, and environmental responsibility. In addition to preservation of the physical environment and stewardship of natural resources, sustainability considers the economic and social context of doing business and also encompasses the business systems, models, and behaviors necessary for long-term value creation.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the AICPA Sustainability Initiative. My name is Ken Witt. I'm a technical manager with the AICPA Business, Industry, and Government team, and I lead our sustainability initiative here at the AICPA. The goal of our initiative and these podcasts is to provide thought leadership, tools, and resources that you need to be informed and develop your knowledge and skill base in sustainability accounting and reporting. I have with me today Andrea Moffitt, Senior Director for Corporate Programs at Ceres, to talk about Ceres and the Ceres Roadmap for Sustainability. Andrea is one of the featured speakers from the Fall 2010 Sustainability Workshop presented in the AICPA Boardroom in New York City in collaboration with CICA, the Canadian Institute of Chartered Accountants. Andrea, thanks for joining me today for this podcast conversation.
Great. Thanks, Ken. Happy to be here.
Before we get into the roadmap, could you tell us a bit about Ceres?
Sure, absolutely. Ceres is a not-for-profit organization that has been around for about 20 years, and we have a history of engaging with companies and the investment community on improving sustainability practices, disclosure, and engagement. And we have two large networks that we run. One is our corporate network, which has about 80 members, and they range in size and sector of companies. And we also run something called the Investor Network on Climate Risk, which has about 90 institutional investor members with about $9 trillion of assets under management. So our main focus is really bringing together the advocacy community, investors, and companies to figure out how we're going to deal with some of the complex challenges of sustainability issues or environmental, social, and governance issues.
Well, thanks, Andrea. So are most of your network companies larger public companies, or do you have some smaller companies as well?
We have a pretty big mix. We probably have around 35 sort of Fortune 500 companies, and then a number of companies in sort of the mid-size range, as well as some smaller kind of service provider companies. But we definitely are fairly focused on thinking through how can large companies that are publicly traded improve their sustainability practices, and then also looking at some of the suppliers to those companies in terms of what they're doing around their own sustainability strategies and performance as well.
I think working in the supply chain is certainly a big part of every company's sustainability initiative. So maybe we'll move on to the roadmap. Can you tell us a little bit about the why and the how the roadmap was developed, and also sort of what you're trying to do with the roadmap?
Yeah, absolutely. So we developed the roadmap, the Ceres roadmap for sustainability, because a lot of companies were asking us, kind of typical questions. What is sustainability? How does it relate to my business and my business success? How do I know what I should prioritize first and what kind of results I should be getting at? And so based on all those questions, we thought we should take a crack at putting together a framework for companies to follow so that they could get a sense of what they needed to do. And before I get into kind of the components of the roadmap, one thing I wanted to touch base on a little bit is just kind of, why this is important. So, why do we think that sustainability is a core business and financial issue for all companies? And, why should this be addressed within corporate strategy and risk management structures? And, it's actually really interesting because the past kind of 8 months, there's been, some really tragic but also stark examples of why sustainability is critical to business. And you just have to look at the BP oil spill, where you had their share price fell by about 52% in the first 50 days after the Deepwater Horizon spill. Their costs have exceeded $32 billion for the company so far. You can look at the Massey Energy coal mine explosion and some of the governance repercussions that have happened with that company and some of the litigation that's coming out of that tragedy. And then you can also look at the very recent floods in Pakistan and really see the impact on cotton prices. And, you know, they're at sort of the highest that they've been, and that's going to have implications for the supply chain of companies that are using that type of a commodity. So when you think about sustainability and sort of those types of examples, you really realize that they are core to business success. You have to understand your exposure and ideally be proactive in terms of your risk management structures and how you're going to deal with it. And that's a core component of what the chief financial officer should be, you know, considering as one of the key strategists for businesses. So in terms of the roadmap, what we try to do is really provide a direction and put together 20 expectations that companies can run through around how to build a sustainability strategy and really capture some of these risks as well as the opportunities for integrating things into the core business strategy.
Great. I think, you know, that's one of the things that came to mind when you were speaking about all the downside risks. I was just reading in the, you know, the annual report from CDP and all the filings that just been published. And there was an article in Green Biz today about how companies, large companies in particular, are capitalizing on the opportunities from managing their carbon and climate change risks.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if we're going to deal with these issues, we need companies to deal with the risk, but we also need companies to come up with solutions to these problems. And when we look at the complexity, well, you know, whether it be human rights issues or whether it be climate change or energy issues or water scarcity, it's going to be the corporate sector that's going to develop the solutions, whether it be technology or process solutions to these problems. And so a lot of what we include in the roadmap is really very solutions oriented. So what can you do in terms of setting revenue targets for some of your products or services that are linked to sustainability issues? And, you know, one of the classic examples that many people have heard about is with GE's Eco Imagination program. And they've actually made very specific revenue targets there. They're going to commit to grow their Eco Imagination product line at twice the rate as their overall revenue as a company. And that's a big commitment. And if we had all companies make those kinds of revenue commitments, wow, we'd really be moving an agenda forward in terms of both, you know, economic growth, jobs, and also addressing some environmental problems.
Yeah, I know the folks at Harvard think that sustainability is going to be a huge driver of innovation for, you know, the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
So back to the roadmap a little bit. You mentioned the 20 expectations. Can you tell us a little bit more about you know, the expectations and how the roadmap is structured? One of the things that I found particularly interesting was that I thought it was an excellent strategy document. You know, section by section, it provides this detailed view of what the desired future state will look like, and it also has practical guidance of how companies can get there. So maybe you can just elaborate on how it's structured and laid out a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. So how we structured it is we basically have four main chapters, and the first three chapters, governance, stakeholder engagement, and disclosure, really deal with the accountability structures within companies. And then the last chapter, which is about half of the report, deals with performance, so specific performance issues around, you know, environment, social issues, human rights, water, et cetera. The reason we did that is if you're going to successfully integrate sustainability or environmental social governance issues into your corporate strategy, you need to sort of access the accountability structures, but you also need to make sure that you're meeting specific performance goals and targets. So we decided to, you know, go with that kind of a design for that reason. And then what we decided to do was to really use a lot of examples. We actually have over 200 specific company examples. They cover off a pretty wide range of industry sectors so that you can really see how companies are doing this on the ground. How are they meeting some of these expectations? And what are some of the key best practices out there that you couldn't think about modeling for your own company? So we did take a very pragmatic approach. And one of the interesting things that's happening with this, Ken, is a number of companies are actually self-assessing themselves against the 20 expectations and seeing, you know, where they have strengths, where they have weaknesses, and areas that they want to prioritize for, you know, extending their sustainability efforts going forward. So that's been really heartening. And we hope that, there'll be more uptake by companies in the future.
Well, that's terrific. So focusing on the role of the CFO, you know, our members of CPAs, many of them are CFOs in their companies. How do you view the role of the CFO in sustainability, and what would you say are some of the key things that the CFO should have on his or her agenda?
Yeah, happy to comment on that. When I think about CFOs, I really do see them as key players in driving the corporate strategy in terms of both the short-term and long-term success of the business. So this really places them, you know, often at the center of understanding where the company is going. And because we think sustainability has both risks and opportunities, it is really critical that CFOs are well-educated and can ask the right questions on these issues. So when I think about what CFOs are focused on, I think about risk mitigation, I think about cost savings, I think about revenue growth, and I think about communication with the investor community and also their customers. So when you get into the details of that, you know, a couple of recommendations or areas where we think CFOs need to focus are really integrating sustainability data and metrics within the accounting statements, within their sort of financial analysis, within kind of the due diligence process that they often lead, and so that they can really understand the cost savings and efficiency from capturing, whether it be energy savings or water savings or productivity issues in terms of employee well-being, but really being able to quantify that information and put it onto the financial books. And there's, you know, a number of really interesting examples of companies that have done that. And one of my favorites is actually looking at what Baxter has done. And they've actually put out an environmental financial statement for about 10 years. And what they found is they get a return of $3 for every dollar that they invest in their environmental programs. So that's a really explicit example. And we certainly would encourage other companies to look at that approach to really capture the cost savings. When I think about some other areas in terms of more the revenue side of things, and we already talked about GE, but another area that's really important is how do you integrate sustainability filters into sort of capital expenditure decisions or R&D decisions? And there's been some really interesting directions that companies have been going with that. PepsiCo actually has a capital expenditure filter for any investment over $5 million. It has to sort of go through a sustainability due diligence process. And then when you look at some other companies, say a DuPont, they've actually made some specific commitments to double the investment in R&D around quantifiable environmental benefit for their, you know, customers and their consumers to $640 million. So the key thing here is that companies are putting specific numbers around both what they want to do in revenue, what they want to do in R&D to develop these types of solutions. And then if you look at the sort of communication and disclosure side of things, we are seeing more companies disclose their material sustainability risks in their financial filings, their 10-Ks. And there was a ruling this year from the Securities Exchange Commission that actually provided guidance on how companies should do this around climate change in particular. And we're also really want to encourage companies to talk about these risks in all of their communications with investors. So whether it be analyst calls, whether it be, you know, investor roadshows, whether it be annual meetings, communicating with investors around how you're addressing these risks and opportunity is really critical. Because what we're finding with our investor network is that they are really looking to understand which companies are positioning themselves strongly, both from a competitive opportunity point of view around sustainability, but also in terms of risk. And they're looking to really integrate sustainability into sort of all their asset management decisions going forward.
Thanks, Andrea. We all have a lot to learn about sustainability, and I think the roadmap's a great resource that shines some light on that path for us. So thanks to you and your colleagues at Sirius for that. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to take away from today's conversation?
Yeah, I would just encourage people to, you know, read the roadmap, look at the examples, and think about whether there's opportunities for your company to apply some of these ideas and sort of take action to improve corporate performance. And I do really appreciate, Ken, the opportunity to speak with your members. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing your insights with us today. And to our listeners, we hope you found this podcast to be interesting and informative. You can access the Ceres Roadmap directly from the Ceres website at ceres.org, C-E-R-E-S.org. You can also access the roadmap from the PDF version of this resource review at AICPA.org/sustainability. Thank you much.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assumes no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaims all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.